In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Hi, this is Dina Marie of Faith Moments, and welcome to this weekly podcast where we proclaim and ponder our Sunday Mass readings. Actually, last Sunday and this Sunday, we have something a little bit different. It's not the readings for the particular week in Ordinary Time, like this Sunday should be the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, but a special feast falls on the Sunday. Last week, it was the Feast of All Souls, and for many churches, we use the readings for the dedication and the commemoration of All Souls for November 2nd. Well, this is another interesting Sunday because the feast is the dedication of the Lateran Basilica. So actually, we're recognizing the dedication of a church, and we're going to hear all about a sacred building. That's really the theme that I can see it within these readings is the sacred dwelling. And I want to just read for you a little bit about the church, the Lateran Basilica Church. It goes back several centuries in our Catholic history. In the year 313, the Roman Emperor Constantine published the Edict of Milan, granting religious freedom of Christians. Constantine himself donated the palace of the Lateran, a portion of his wife's dowry, to the church for its first basilica. The Lateran is the cathedral of the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, and as such, it ranks as the mother and head of all churches in the city and the world. From its dedication on this date in the year 324 until the 15th century, the Lateran was the residence of the popes. Within the interior, towering statues of the 12 apostles bearing the instruments of their martyrdom surround the central nave along the north and south walls. So the Lateran Basilica is the Holy Father's church, his, like we would have a cathedral for our bishop. So the Bishop of Rome, who is the Holy Father, the Lateran Basilica is his home. And so many people associate the Holy Father and the Catholic Church with St. Peter's Basilica. The Lateran is the home of the Holy Father in a very special way. So just a little church history for you and real church history as we look at this dedication of the Lateran Basilica. So the readings are really going to reflect a sacred space. So let's begin today with a collect prayer for the feast of the dedication of the Lateran Basilica. Let us pray. O God, who from living and chosen stones prepare an eternal dwelling for your majesty, increase in your church the spirit of grace you have bestowed, so that by new growth, your faithful people may build up the heavenly Jerusalem. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The angel brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the facade of the temple was toward the east. The water flowed down from the southern side of the temple, south of the altar. He led me outside by the north gate and around to the outer gate facing the east, where I saw water trickling from the southern side. He said to me, "This water flows into the eastern district down upon the Arabah and empties into the sea, the salt waters, which it makes fresh. Wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live, and there shall be abundant fish. For wherever this water comes, the sea shall be made fresh. Along both banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine. The word of the Lord. The waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in distress. Therefore, we fear not, though the earth be shaken and the mountains plunge into the depths of the sea. The waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. There is a stream whose runlets gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. God is in its midst, it shall not be disturbed. God will help it at the break of dawn. The waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. The Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Jacob. Come, behold the deeds of the Lord, the astounding things he has wrought on earth. The waters of the river gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, you are God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But each one must be careful how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is there, namely Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for the temple of God, which you are, is holy. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. I have chosen and consecrated this house, says the Lord, that my name may be there forever. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Sacred buildings, a holy temple. And we're talking about this feast, recognizing the Lateran Basilica today. So certainly these readings are going to take us deeper into the purpose of a building, the church, the presence of God, who we are the church. There's so many things that are connected with the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so in this reading from Ezekiel, we hear about this water, water flowing, water trickling, water providing fruitfulness and fertility, water that overflows into like salty water that makes the water fresh and makes the waters able to give fruit. And there's an effect from the water. And certainly we think about our own baptism, the entrance into the church, the entrance into God's family is through the initiation sacrament with a capital S of baptism. And one of the forms that that we are using is a form of water. There's a candle, a fire. There are words and blessings that we receive. The water is the symbol of we're setting this aside. We're consecrating the child, the adult who's being baptized in this case of a baptism for something holy. You're set apart to be part of God's family. And here the angel is walking with and talking with Ezekiel about this holy temple, the holy water, the multiplication of fresh fish and abundance. Fruit trees of every kind will grow. The fruit will be for food. There's such abundance in this as caring in the temple. We're going to be cared for in the temple of God. God will dwell with us. I want to share with you this psalm that came in the Magnificat. It's from Psalm 84, and this stanza says this: "They are happy, those who dwell in your house, forever singing your praise. They are happy, whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the road to Zion." God is in our hearts. He has made a dwelling place in us. And we're happy when we dwell in the house of the Lord. That's where we find solace. That's where we find peace. That's where we find God's presence, is in the house of the Lord, in his temple. If you're seeing the video of this podcast, behind me is the church, the Abbey Church at Mount Angel Abbey. And you can see above my left shoulder is the towering bells. And every time the monks at the monastery, at the Benedictine monastery, come to pray, the bells ring 5 minutes. And calling, if you're at work, if you're at study, if you're working in a particular area on the Abbey grounds, you're called to stop whatever you're doing, and you're called to prayer. You're called to come into the church. And I just have this visual image in my mind of sitting in the Abbey Church, which I was this past weekend on the Feast of All Saints and All Souls. And on Saturday, which happened to be the All Saints Day, the whole day, but starting that Friday evening, which would have been All Hallows Eve, it was raining and pouring and the wind was blowing. I mean, it was radical, just the blowing. You could see the trees, you could see the water just bellowing. And so we came into the church for Mass. And outside, you can see through some of the windows. They're not clear. They're colored with a colored glass, but you can see outside the shadows of the trees. And you could see the trees just blowing fiercely back and forth. And you could hear the rumbling of the wind and the downpouring of the rain. But inside the church, the people were at peace. The people were called to pray. The people were called in the presence of the Lord in the tabernacle. We were led in prayer by the monastic community. And when we came for morning prayers, this there was this chanting of from the left side to the right, the chantings of the Psalms and the prayers of the church. And so even though the storms were raging outside, you know, branches of trees were flying here and there, and you could see the leaves in this autumn season all over the place. But inside the church, there was peace, there was respite, there was renewal, there was restoration, there was healing. We are the church. God dwells in us, the church. We come to a place of renewal, a place that leads us into eternity in heaven. And I just, as I was looking at the sides of the church, and I knew that all around the church, there is this raging storm, but yet the people came into the abode of God. And then when we were able to receive Jesus Christ and the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity, he makes a home within us so that we can slowly become divinized, as the church says, that we become his temple. So now we're not just physical beings, we're spiritual beings. We have a soul, we have a spirit, we're nourished by the Holy Spirit. We're nourished for something other than just work and toil. We're nourished so that we can reside with God forever. Forever. Paul says it so beautifully, you are God's building. Now, what was beautiful was that on Saturday, the whole day in the church, when we were taking part in these times of prayer, it was just raging outside. And I thought about the world, the darkness, the devil, Satan, the demons, they are roaring around the world like lions, trying to devour God's holy people. And yet we come into the church, we come into the sacramental life, we come into the blessing of baptism, of confirmation, of Holy Eucharist, of confession, to strengthen us, to give us God's grace, to protect us. You know, I felt so protected sitting in the church. Candles were lit. The monks are praying. There's the holy sacrifice of the Mass. There's the tabernacle. I'm surrounded by images of the saints, of our Blessed Mother, part of the church triumphant. We're praying for the church suffering. We're praying for the souls in purgatory. And yet we are the church militant. Battle, the battleground is in prayer. Prayer is the battle cry. The way we fight in the battle is in prayer. There's so many beautiful images of the Angelus. And you see the mother and the father out working in the field. And when the bells ring at six, at noon, at six, they stop and they're called to prayer. They're called to look up, to seek what is above, not what is below. Yes, we work and we tend the soil and we provide food and nourishment for others. We serve others. Yes, but it's all to glorify God. It's all that we will be in the home of God, in his abode. You are God's building. And so Paul is saying, you know, I laid a foundation. I taught you about Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, the resurrection of the Lord. But each one of you, as you've been built to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, you need to be careful what you add to your foundation. Let it not be the world. Let it not be a passing ebb and flow of a philosophy or a teaching that is not of Christ. It must be a foundation built on Jesus Christ, says St. Paul. Know that you are a temple of God. Know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And know that if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that one. You are a temple of God. You are holy. We're meant for holiness. We're not meant to dwell here forever. We're meant here to prepare ourselves to be in heaven with God, which means to detach from anything that is sinful, anything that is not of God. We're to let go of, we're to detach from, we're to make offerings, and we're to sacrifice, and we're to fast and pray in order to be those living dwellings of God. I want to share with you this great reflection in the series of books in Conversation with God. And this is, again, on the dedication of the Lateran Basilica, which is always celebrated on the 9th of November. This year, 2025, it happens to be celebrated on a Sunday. So we take that Sunday as a time to honor it. And this is something from Pope St. John Paul II. He, in his homily on the 3rd of November in 1982, Pope John Paul teaches, "Any church is your house and the house of God. Value it as the place where we encounter our common Father." The reflection goes on to say, "The church building is a sign of the church assembly. The congregation is formed by living stones, men and women consecrated to God by their baptism. The church building is the place where the Christian community gathers together to hear the word of God, to offer up prayers of petition and praise, and in a principal way to celebrate the sacred mystery of our faith, the blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. A unique image of the church is reserved here. The altar is surrounded by people made holy by participating in the sacrifice of the Lord and nourished by the celestial banquet." So what I think is so beautiful is you could go to any Catholic church in the world, small or large, a basilica or a little mission church, and we're there to pray. We're there to petition on behalf of others. We're there to pray for the dead. We're there to pray for the living. We're there to pray for the poor and the most fragile and the most abandoned. We're there to praise God. We're there to celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass and to be surrounded by people who desire to be holy. We're being formed in holiness when we come into the church, and then we take that desire out into the world. We go into our mission. We're not just to stay in the church, but now that we've been fed, now that we've prayed, now that we've come together in community, we go out, brothers and sisters, to find others to bring with us into this this hospital, right? The church is the hospital to care for the needs of the sick and suffering and sinners. We're here to bring people into the church, to allow their souls to be healed. Let us approach our churches with a great spirit of reverence. Our church is not an auditorium. It's not a gymnasium. It's not a concert hall where we get to hear beautiful music. Although in this church, at the Abbey Church, there are beautiful organs and there are beautiful music being played, but it's to glorify God. It's to honor God. It's to honor the Creator and to rejoice in the gift of grace, the gift of hope, the gift of love, the Holy Spirit that God gives us through the church and in the church. So we should be respectful in our churches. We should dress accordingly. We should have a reverent silence and honor and respect for one another in the church. We should kneel and genuflect as properly. It says, "Let us approach our churches with a great spirit of reverence, since there is no place more worthy of respect than the house of God." That's why churches are beautiful. Sometimes people outside the Catholic Church will criticize the ornateness, the beauty, the amount of money that is spent with beautiful marble and precious stone and precious gold or silver. It is to glorify God, and God gives us these gifts because it's a place of holiness. In our churches, we encounter the house we share in common with our brothers and sisters in faith. And then that church nourishes us, and we should go out and nourish others who are in great need, who are in need of love, who are in need of hearing the word of God. So as we honor the dedication of the Lateran Basilica, let's pray for the Pope. Let's pray for Pope Leo XIV. Let's pray for his greatest needs, the needs of the church. And let us give thanks and praise that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And let's act, speak, live accordingly. Let us pray. O God, you dwell in our midst, even as you call us to walk forward toward the future dwelling place, which you have promised for all your people. Keep us faithful to the way you have laid out for us, so that one church with one shepherd, we may follow where you lead us, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.